The COVID-19 pandemic has had a devastating impact around the world. From putting enormous pressure on healthcare systems, in many cases to breaking point, to putting the world economy on track to a possible recession. But the pandemic has also made clear another problem of our time: global inequality. As wealthy countries stockpile COVID-19 vaccines, 50% of adults in Europe, US and the UK have now been fully vaccinated, while vaccination rates remain extremely low in countries across Africa, where fewer than 2% of the continent's people have been fully vaccinated. The African Union and the World Health Organization have played a central role in the vaccination effort across the continent. But 47 of Africa's 54 countries are expected to miss September's target of vaccinating 10% of their citizens. So, how can we bridge the vaccine gap threatening the African continent? And what plans are in place to increase the number of vaccines heading to the region? The director of the Africa Centres for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. John Nkengasong, talks to Al Jazeera. Dr. John Nkengasong, director of Africa Centres for Disease Control and Prevention, thank you for talking to us on Al Jazeera. Can we just begin with your overall assessment of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout across the continent? What are your initial impressions?
The rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine on the continent has been a total disappointment. As we speak today, less than 2% of the eligible population in Africa has been fully vaccinated, which is very unfortunate. If you recognize that we have to at least immunize up to about 70% of our population, and we are less than 2%, that tells you that we have an incredibly a long journey to go to get to where we have to be. So it has been a total disappointment. Having said that, there's hope, because as you know, the African Vaccine Acquisition Task Team has now signed a contract of about 400 million doses of Johnson & Johnson vaccines, which the delivery started about 2 weeks ago. So we remain optimistic that although the challenges are enormous, we are making some progress.
In broad brushstrokes, why has it been so bad for Africa, whereas we've seen Europe do incredibly well?
It has been challenging for Africa because we did not produce vaccines, and we were all hoping and relying on the COVAX facility, which is a mechanism that was set up by Gavi, the World Health Organization, and the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, to have vaccines, distribute them in a timely fashion on the continent. However, many countries that actually contributed money into the COVAX facility ended up buying most vaccines. So it became a very challenging situation for the continent.
Was the COVAX scheme, under sort of the UN auspices, a disappointment or a failure? Because it hasn't really helped Africa in the way it should have.
I mean, I would say that the principles behind COVAX, that is to acquire vaccines in a basket and then made it available to a resource-limited setting in a timely fashion. The principle and the values of cooperation, the values of solidarity were sound. But it wasn't the implementation that didn't really follow through because of, as what I just explained earlier, that the countries that made pledges and committed to supporting COVAX ended up buying most of the vaccines. So it became very challenging for COVAX to get vaccines. And the situation in India that was caused by the Delta variant that emerged there made it such that the government of India imposed a ban on the export of vaccines, especially the AstraZeneca vaccines from India. So that made our situation very complex.
It does raise a question, doesn't it, a sort of vaccine equity, because that's been a huge talking point this last, 18 months of the pandemic. For global leaders, you know, in the West and developed world, one might say they failed Africa because one has to get African leaders to push, you might say, the developed world and politicians to listen to Africa, to help Africa and to make sure that their voice is heard in terms of getting the vaccine. And Africa has been failed, really, by those promises that haven't been fulfilled by developed countries.
Absolutely. I think it is a simple truth that Africa has been poorly served through what I call international cooperation and international solidarity. When this pandemic started, we said all the right things. The right things were that we needed timely access and equitable distribution of vaccines. But when the vaccines were available, which in my view, in my more than three decades in public health as a virologist, the science was incredibly fast in producing vaccines. But having said that, Africa still lags behind and lags behind significantly. So I think that the spirit of international cooperation and solidarity failed Africa significantly.
Well, let's just focus in now on the continent. And recent WHO statistics suggest there is a north-south divide in terms of infection rate. 64% increase in the south, 24% increase in the north. Both areas account for 88% of the continent's death toll. Algeria, Botswana, DRC, Eswatini, Lesotho, Malawi, Mauritania, Mozambique, Rwanda, Senegal, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Libya, Tunisia and Morocco seeing huge Delta variant increases. How concerned are you about the Delta variant across the continent?
I'm concerned about the Delta variant spread across the continent, but not surprised. This is a virus that has an increased transmissibility rate of more than 40 to 50% compared to the wild type virus that we initially were dealing with. It has an R naught ratio, which is the rate of reproduction of more than 8, which means that each person infected has the chance of infecting at least 8 more people. So I think that is very concerning. So I'm very concerned from two perspectives. One is that because of the rapid spread of the Delta variant, we are seeing health facilities across the continent that are fully overwhelmed. And this is a scenario that mirrors what we saw in India around the period in April, May timeline. And because of this situation as well, that is the variant, the Delta variant, we are seeing that the vaccination process will be further challenged. So it is very concerning. And what is even more concerning is that we don't know what we don't know. We don't know that other variants will emerge that will actually be even more aggressive and more transmissible and more challenging to the vaccine that we are using than the Delta variant. So I think the best way to avoid that, in my view, it would be to increase our ability for vaccination uptake on the continent. Because we now know that the Delta variant is challenging people that have already been vaccinated. And we're seeing upsurge in this number of new cases across the world, not just in Africa.
In terms of dealing with the pandemic and dealing with whether it's the Delta variant or any of the other variants, in your opinion, are there any countries across Africa that are, you might say, dealing with the situation in terms of their infrastructure, in terms of hospitalisation or the medical facilities that are available? Or is it just too unfair to say, you know, Africa's a lost cause, no country is actually dealing with this problem? Because they just don't have the facilities and they're just too poor?
No, absolutely. That's not the situation. I mean, Africa overall has been dealing with multiple waves of this pandemic or multiple phases. As you recall, as we speak, about 32 countries in Africa are going through a third wave and about four or five are going through the fourth wave. And that, but what is remarkable is that most countries have dealt with the first wave. They brought it down. Then, of course, as they ease the lockdown situations, the virus picks up and they have to deal with the second wave and then the third wave. What that suggests to everybody is that Africa, many countries in Africa actually know how to implement public health measures because we don't have vaccines. And the only tools that we have in our disposition now are public health measures and, of course, the lockdowns. What is also evident is that public health measures alone will not enable us to avoid subsequent waves. I think we'll need massive vaccinations to enable us to prevent this rhythm of lockdowns, and then you have another wave, and then you lock down. So I think that is not going to help our economies and help our health systems if we continue to do that. We just need to, again, focus on scaling up vaccines. So overall, many countries in Africa have done extremely well in trying to maintain the spread of the virus at levels that they can at least play with lockdowns and then public health measures and while waiting for vaccines to arrive.
But confounding the problem for those of us on the outside looking at what's going on across Africa is when we hear news that countries like the Democratic Republic of Congo, Malawi or South Sudan have destroyed vaccines because the expiry date was very close to the potential for using them. So whose fault is it? Is it a distribution issue? Is it a lack of coordination in respective national countries that they haven't been able to get the vaccine out and into the arms of those that need it most? You know, you say that the vaccine is available, but in the same breath, we're now, you know, seeing physical evidence that vaccines are having to be destroyed. And that's incredibly disheartening for a global population who somewhere in the world would say, you know what, I'd have taken that vaccine even if it was near its expiry date.
I mean, any vaccine that is destroyed on the continent is terribly unfortunate. And we at the Africa CDC and African Union are very clear about that, and we are doing something with that. We have teams in several countries that are supporting countries to make sure that those vaccines that are available are actually used, especially early days. But we have to put all this, the experience in context. I think this is the first time that a continent, the continent of Africa, will be vaccinating adults at scale. And we also have to put that in the context that there was a lot of disruption in vaccination programs where initial vaccines were delivered, they were stopped, and people were eager to take vaccines, then they didn't know where to take the second dose of the vaccines. And there was a lot of misinformation and miscommunication around generated by social media and across the world, and not just in Africa. And it created a lot of very early on misunderstanding and mishaps and approaches to whether people should go get their vaccines or not. But if you look at the situation now, it has significantly evolved. I mean, I'm just back from Morocco last week, where you saw lines and lines of people in sports stadium waiting to receive their vaccines. You've also seen similar scenarios in Rwanda and in Kenya, where there are long lines of people out there waiting to be vaccinated, including in DRC. Okay, and Nigeria. Nigeria has used up about 99% of its vaccines, waiting for other vaccines to arrive. So those were early days in the vaccination. And now we see, especially with the brutality of the third wave, where people actually saw large number of people dying, I think the situation is changing a lot. Now what we need is access to vaccines. I don't think that I'm so much concerned with vaccine hesitancy at this point.
Well, two things, actually, because both the UN and the WHO are encouraging and hoping that the 30% vaccination level of the population of the continent would be reached by the end of the year. And then you also have the added problem, if I can also suggest, which is something that you've touched upon, is the way that vaccines are produced. And they're being produced obviously in South Africa, but it took Cyril Ramaphosa to actually step in and say, no, the vaccines that are produced in South Africa should be for the continent and not exported beyond the continent. You have these two scenarios at the moment. Will you get 30% of the population vaccinated, and will you keep vaccines produced on the continent in the continent?
Now, you touch on a very important point there. The political leadership of the continent in fighting this pandemic has been extraordinary and really exceptional in the history of fighting infectious diseases on the continent. The leadership expressed by President Ramaphosa as in his capacity previously as the chair of the African Union And now the COVID champion has been remarkable. And it's thanks to his intervention, personal commitment and intervention, that some of those vaccines that were produced in South Africa but shipped outside of the continent were actually halted, and the whole arrangement was made so that Africa should have its own the vaccines produced in South Africa. And that's how the African Vaccine Acquisition Task Team, that is coordinated by Mr. Strive Masiwa, actually begin to get vaccines. I think that is credit has to go to the President Ramaphosa. At the African Union Commission, the chairperson Moussa Faki has demonstrated extraordinary commitment to supporting Africa CDC and to engaging with different partners so that the continent should have a vaccine. So that is a scenario that we are learning from it and building on it as well. So we really hope that going forward, as South Africa, Senegal, Rwanda, and Morocco, Egypt begins to produce vaccines, those vaccines will be used on the continent and not exported outside of the continent.
The World Health Organization, and I'm quoting the facts that we can get from these organizations, predicts that 47 of the 54 countries that they've looked at in Africa will miss out on the very modest sort of September target of vaccinating at least 10% of their populations. Am I correct in thinking that Burundi is still one country that hasn't administered a single vaccine? And there poses the next question about vaccine hesitancy in some African countries. I mean, tribal and religious issues sometimes get in the way of sheer fact and science.
I remain hopeful that the vaccine access situation will improve in the next coming months, whether it actually enables us to get to the target that we had hoped to achieve, that is the target of immunizing 25 to 30% of our population by the end of the year, remains a question. But I think with efforts from the African Vaccine Acquisition Task Team, with the donations that we are seeing increasingly made available by partners like the United States, France, and others, we really hope that those efforts will enable us to at least to get to the appropriate targets there. Look, we are in a pandemic.
Sorry to jump in there, Doctor. I would appreciate, yes, that you're saying that you'd want to reach those targets with your relevant agency. But what I'm talking about is the cultural differences across Africa and the tribal beliefs of traditional medicine against somebody who's a complete stranger who comes into your village or town and says, I'm a scientist and what I put in your arm is much better than what you've been dealing with on a tribal social level for decades.
No, there is for any campaign to be successful against infectious diseases, you have to factor in both anthropological and sociological components there to fight a disease. It all has to do with behavior and the trust capital that you build with the community. We saw this in during the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. We saw this in DRC, where vaccines against Ebola were available, and it was extremely difficult to administer those vaccines unless we used the local community in doing that. So this is not new. I mean, the concept of making sure that community, the local community plays a central role in expanding the administration of any vaccines or even treatment programs is known. I think public health is global, but the implementation is local. I think that is true for other diseases. It's also true for this. It's not unique for COVID. We saw this during the polio campaigns, and we see this also in other mass vaccination campaigns when the different communities have actually resisted vaccines that are available.
Indeed, when we come to sort of vaccine availability and your hopes that you can get the continent vaccinated, the former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has been very vocal in support of Africa and criticised Western powers and Big Pharma over their attitude and promise to supply Africa in a national British newspaper back in mid-August. He said that, not just Western governments, but big farmers have failed Africa. Where do you expect to get your supplies when you have a country like Germany reluctant to allow local pharmaceutical companies in Africa to produce COVID-19 vaccine?
I think, as I said earlier, the situation is improving. The African Vaccine Acquisition Task Team has secured 400 million doses of vaccines, and that is the reality, and the distribution has started. You now know that Pfizer has signed agreements with the pharmaceutical companies in South Africa, BioVac, and I think that is all very encouraging. You know that there's partnership developing with Senegal at the Pasteur Institute in Senegal to develop vaccines. So we are very, very encouraged. But that may not be timely enough to address the challenge and the urgency that we have on our hands there. So you're absolutely right that we may be challenged, still be challenged for a couple of months before we really see the appropriate inflow of vaccines on the continent.
Do you think you'll be challenged even more as Europe heads towards winter and, you know, some countries are talking about booster shots when many people across Africa haven't even had one shot?
That is the unfortunate situation, and I fully agree with the World Health Organization, where the Director General has asked for a suspension in administering booster doses until the most of the world is vaccinated. I think that is I have not seen the science yet that argues for this boostering or a need for booster doses there. I think we have not seen that. If anyone has seen that, I'll be happy to read that. And I think it will be unfortunate that the vast majority of the world continues to lag behind in vaccines, and then people are talking about doing a booster there. It will be a threat for everybody, because by doing that kind of behavior, will only provoke and encourage the emergence of new variants that, who knows, may challenge even the existing vaccines that are available in our the toolkits to fight COVID in the world.
Africa has many eminent scientists. It has many entrepreneurs. And one wonders why Africa hasn't found its own vaccine when countries like Iran, Cuba, managed to develop their own and are managing to inoculate their publics as much as they possibly can.
I mean, that is a very important question. I think it is fair to say that Africa has neglected that component of our health system completely. I think we import, as we speak today, imported 99% of our vaccine needs and only manufacture 1% of our vaccines. And at the same time, the continent consumes about 25% of global vaccines supply. So having said that, I think there's always time to begin. Many countries in Africa have now mobilized and they've taken the journey of producing vaccines, like Nigeria, Ghana, Senegal, Rwanda, South Africa, Egypt, Morocco. So I remain optimistic, but you're absolutely right that that area has been neglected and it shouldn't have been neglected. There are three health security commodities that a people must have in order to guarantee and safeguard its security. They include the ability to produce diagnostics, the ability to produce therapeutics, and the ability to produce vaccines. So Africa has to engage in all three pathways to guarantee the health security of its population going forward. That is what we are calling a new public health order for the continent. A new public health order that says that we need to take hold of our future and produce about 60% of vaccines that we need in the next 20 years. China has gone down that route. Thailand and many other countries. There's absolutely no reason why Africa shouldn't go down that route. And the Africa CDC and the African Union has developed that pathway and that vision for the continent to embrace and walk that journey.
And just finally, I think, Doctor, you certainly have a great deal of hope for the continent and for its potential. The G7 are meeting later in September to discuss where COVID stands right now globally, where the pandemic is, and what they can do to try and curtail it. What sort of voice will Africa have at that G7 meeting?
The countries that you mentioned, the United States, France, Germany, countries that Africa has enjoyed good relationships with, and they should all serve as a voice to echo Africa's need. What do we need in the next 5 years? We need about $30 billion to fully vaccinate the continent. We are not going to get rid of this COVID-19 in the next year. We're not going to get rid of COVID-19 at the pace we are going in 2023. So we need to actually sit down and develop a four to five years program that, in my view, it will cost at least $30 billion. That's what the G7 should be looking at. How do we structure funding that will release about $30 billion over the next 5 years so that Africa can get rid of the COVID from the continent?
Let's see if they do that. Dr. John Nkengasong, Director for the Africa Centres for Disease Control and Prevention, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.